All
Okay.
right, welcome everyone. Sorry, medyo hindi gumagana yung UP faculty account ko, so we're just using this itong non-commercial account. So I don't know how long this is gonna last. Pasensya na ako, medyo Ilocano itong medyo budget itong Zoom natin. Thank you very much again, Justice Carpi, for joining us.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening to our viewers.
As always, mukhang tama na naman yung timing natin. Of course, previously, ang timing natin, yung mga developments about Kibuloy and then Duterte. Don't worry dun sa mga followers natin. Babalikan natin yung issue ng Kibuloy. Parang anong petsa na, hindi pa rin nahuhuli. Baka may alam kayo, Sir Justice. Hindi natin alam. Meron bang ano, update dyan sa Davao? Ano bang marites sa Davao ngayon?
Well, mukhang ano, the police have said they will look for him. Mukhang mapapahiya sila, no?
Right, exactly.
We have to send some a group of policemen, maybe NBI from Manila, because you know, those policemen in Davao City might not be able to find him.
Might not be able to find him, or may not want to find him. I mean, is it really
well,
that
pareho
bad?
na yon.
yung so-called Davao Task Force. I mean, I mean, for me, ang point of reference ko, Justice, ay si Bantag. Di ba? He's from my region, Cordilleras, ganun. Hanggang ngayon, parang
Yes.
Hindi yata nahuli eh, di ba? So, I don't know, unless siguro nag-golf course ka sa East Timor, mukhang malamang mahuli ka unless magpadala ka from Manila. So, mga totoo yan, no, Justice? Talagang medyo mahirap umasa minsan, no?
Yeah, like Bantag na lang, no? Matagal na.
Tagal na yung Bantag na yan eh. I mean, of course, I mean, this is crazy. Obviously, for all we know, may kinalaman talaga ito dun sa first major, you know, EJK or murder of a for a journalist. And sabi ko, si Bantag nga, hanggang ngayon, hindi nila mahanap-hanap. You wonder what the heck is going on. And then whether dito sa Kibuloy, meron tayong update. Kaya tinanong kita kasi Davao, from Davao kayo, Sir Carpio. So baka naman, sabi ko, baka may insider knowledge kayo na pwede forward sa amin. Justice Carpio, of course, we need to talk about Digong, our favorite president, soon. But before going there, what is your understanding ng etong latest na development sa Scarborough Shoal? Sa Panatag Shoal naman ito, di ba? Hindi naman ito sa Ayungin Shoal. So sa kabila naman ito. What's going on right now in the West Philippine Sea?
Well, I think from my perspective, this is part of the pressure of China, because they're anticipating we will go to Reed Bank to survey and drill together with a joint patrol with the U.S. And this is part of their pressure to warn us that there will be the same treatment, no, when we go to Reed Bank. But really, I don't think they will do it, because they were not able to do it to Malaysia and to Indonesia. So ibang klase yon, because that's the open sea. It's not a high tide feature. It's totally submerged, no? So that's a different category. But they will nevertheless try to intimidate us not to go to Reed Bank.
Right. So we're looking at developments in Reed Bank, Ayungin Shoal, of course, previously, and also in Scarborough Shoal. So let's talk about Reed Bank and Scarborough Shoal more. Kasi last time, puro mga Ayungin Shoal tayo, which is, of course, important, pero balikan natin. What should be the strategy in the Reed Bank before we go to the Scarborough Shoal, Justice Carpio?
Well, in the Reed Bank, we have to start our survey and drilling, because that's a requirement to get the gas, no? And that's how Malaysia and Indonesia started it. And unless we go there to survey and drill, we cannot get the gas. So the first step is to survey and drill so that they know that they just need confirmatory wells, I think, so we can start getting. It takes 4 years to develop a reed bank, because you have to put up the platform, put up the pipeline from Reed Bank to Malampaya. So we really have to start. We're already delayed, very much delayed.
Justice, I want to go back to this kasi dun sa mga itago na natin sa pangalan ng mga makapili, ang parating argument nila, bakit tayo hindi katulad ng mga ibang ASEAN na napakabait sa China and ngayon kumukuha sila ng investments? Well, one of the things that they don't talk about is how Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, all of them pushed ahead with various degrees of success dito sa kanilang energy exploration activities. Pwede natin isa-isayin ng mga yan. I mean, of course, it's just an overview without giving too much details para lang maintindihan na ating mga kababayan na actually lumalaban ito mga kapitbahay natin. Tayo yung medyo kulelat ngayon, hindi yung tayo lang yung lumalaban at sila yung mabait sa China. So let's start for instance with first Malaysia, because I think Malaysia is the most notorious now because of Anwar Ibrahim doing his own Duterte lawyering for China, for the lack of better way of putting it. And then let's go to Indonesia, then of course Vietnam, which is the biggest one in terms of development of offshore drilling platforms.
Okay, during the COVID about 2 years ago, Malaysia announced that they, you know, the Malaysian economy is dependent on oil and gas exports. That's what's fueling their economic development. And their reserves of gas, oil and gas, have gone down almost. They need to open up new wells. So they announced that they will survey and drill in their area within their exclusive economic zone, but falling within the 10 dash line. So China said, you cannot do that. We will stop you, threatening to go to war even. No? But Malaysia still sent its survey and drill ship together with its Navy. At the same time, the Australian and the American warships conducted naval drills in the same area. So the Chinese Coast Guard could not do anything. And the Malaysians were able to complete their survey and drilling. And the same thing happened to Indonesia. Indonesia announced that it needed to survey and drill in the Natunas, facing the South China Sea, that's also enclosed by the 10 dash line. And China said, that's our area. You cannot get the gas there. But Indonesia still proceeded, accompanied by its Navy. The Indians sent its survey and drill ship. And at the same time, the U.S. aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan passed by. So the Chinese Coast Guard couldn't do anything. So they finished their survey and drilling. And we are the only country among the three countries that have not surveyed and drilled, because during the time of Duterte, he didn't want to displease President Xi Jinping. He said there will be a massacre. We cannot fight China. So right now, of the Malampay used to supply three of our largest gas-fired plants. Today, it's supplying only two. And next year, by the end of this year, it will be supplying only one, because the gas pressure has been going down. No? And right, probably in 2026, we'll run out of gas already. They expect Malampay to run out of gas by 2027. Of course, the company of Ricky Rezon has promised to drill three new wells in the Malampay area, but that's iffy. I mean, you can't be sure. You cannot place all our eggs in one basket. We have really to develop Reedbank as a replacement.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the lemon has been squeezed. I mean, like you can just squeeze it so much, right? Now, this is very important, Justice Carpio, because again, I think there's a misunderstanding na yung mga kapitbahay natin ay nagsasubmit lang sa China and they're just allowing China to get its way. But the reality is that they speak softly most of the time, but they do their assignment. And once in a while, they speak out. We see the trend line with both Indonesia and Malaysia. And of course, Vietnam is a totally different story. Ang napansin ko nga, Justice Carpio, particularly Indonesia and Vietnam, they also bring in India and Russia, right? Dun sa mga energy yes. projects nila. Especially Russia is interesting because Russia is supposed to be friend of China, but Russian companies, whether it's Gazprom among others, have been helping some of China's rivals to develop their offshore capacity, offshore resources, right?
Yes, because Vietnam is very clever. It got Russia, it got also Exxon from the US. So it knows that China will put pressure, will try to stop if they do it on their own. So what Vietnam did was to partner with the two nuclear armed states, US and Russia.
India too, ONGC, if I'm not mistaken, right? Vietnam. So they brought in three nuclear powers to develop there. So, I mean, that's smart, right? You embed them, you make them invested. And we saw, I think, China was quite successful with intimidating the Spanish, I think, Repsol, right?
Repsol left.
Yes, yeah, Repsol. Yeah, the Spanish gave up. But the other ones seem to be hanging around, right? The Russians, the Indians.
Yeah, they're still there. They denied that they have stopped. But Repsol really left. The Vietnamese government compensated Repsol for all their expenses. But the Russians, the Americans are still there. They're just quiet as of the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that should be the blueprint for us, Duba. Now, Justice Carpio, of course, I remember the other year there was an incident where China was trying to harass a joint Jakarta, Indonesia-Russian oil drilling project. Indonesia made some noise about it. I think they did also some patrols in the area. It looks like, you know, by fits and pieces, they keep on moving forward. Do you think this is also the way for us? In the Reed Bank, kasi ang tagal natin hindi na i-develop itong Reed Bank na to, Justice Carpio. No, I mean, do you think it's time for us to just elbow our way in and patrol in the area and make sure China doesn't stop us?
Well, we should follow the formula adopted by Malaysia and Indonesia. They sent their survey ship accompanied by their navy, but on the side, the Americans were there in the same area. Now the Americans have offered to conduct joint patrols. So I think when the joint patrols with the U.S. happens, will happen, that's the time we will be sending our survey and drill ship to Reed Bank. And I think it's going to happen soon.
Right. So the moment of truth is arriving. Now, ang dahilan na sinasabi natin ito ay dahil ngayon napakainit at nakikita natin minsan ba't yung mga malls, di ba, nasha-shutdown na yung kanilang electricity. I think you can feel the power crisis. Even in the more privileged areas of Manila, admittedly, di ba, nakikita ko minsan ba't yung mga malls nasha-shutdown na hirap tayo in terms of power capacity. So this is not only about sustaining our 6%, 7% growth. This is about just sustaining our basic needs, no? So malala itong energy crisis natin, looming energy crisis natin.
Yeah, it's very, it will really derail us. Because if you remove Malampaya, we'll have 12 to 14 hours of daily brownout in Luzon. And that will devastate the economy. That means that the factories will have to close. And those who want to locate in the Philippines will not locate in the Philippines. Those who are here already will have to leave. They'll transfer to Vietnam. Because the moment we import LNG to replace our Malampaya gas, that means power rates will go up. And they will not be competitive anymore. If you are here in the Philippines to establish a manufacturing platform for export, you're competing with the exporters from Vietnam and China, where power rates are much, much lower. They're actually not imposing taxes on their power plants. We are imposing maybe 200% taxes on our energy sector. No? So they will all leave because they cannot compete. The power cost in manufacturing ranges from 20 to 60% of your total cost. It's just not possible for
them
to
compete.
Yeah, it's
just too much. Yeah, exactly. Especially for
so that
energy.
Means,
yeah.
You know, our drive now is to get more FDI, foreign direct investments. When the power outages happen, they will all leave.
And of course, Justice Carpio, it is good for the Philippines to have power crisis and all, you know, for certain countries, right? Because kung may power crisis tayo, may instability tayo. Kung may instability tayo, bababa yung popularity ng gobyerno. At alam natin sino magbe-benefit kung bumaba yung popularity ni Marcos, di ba? Heartbeat away na lang yung isa, di ba? I mean, let's be honest, right? I think, you know, some people like status quo because status quo means disaster for the Philippines, for Marcos. And therefore, it's a good news dun sa mga kabila, di ba? Mga makapili, mga pro-China.
Yeah.
At sabi nila, ito na, kaya kasi inaway nyo kasing China, magpakabay tayo, let's surrender to them and everything will be fine, right? I mean, that's where we're going, right? If we don't do anything drastic in Reed Bank.
Yeah, because if we cannot get the gas in Reed Bank, the economy will be devastated and President Bongbong Marcos will become very unpopular. That will happen.
And a potential so really overthrown or something. Or, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is crazy, right? This is crazy. Now, Justice Garvey, so what you're saying is that soon we might find out some drastic moves by us to unilaterally develop what is, well, legitimately ours, unilateral in the sense that wala na yung mga joint exploration, joint development, yung mga ganon hanas na ni Digong, di ba? Mukhang wala na yun, deads na yun, di ba? Yung mga
yeah, because we signed an MOU with them, remember, during the later part of the Duterte administration. And we agreed, okay, we will jointly cooperate. But at the last minute, they said they wanted two things removed from our service contract, that because the service contract says whereas the oil and gas belong to the Philippines, they wanted that removed. And the second provision they wanted removed was that the service contract says the contract should be governed by Philippine law. They wanted that removed. So practically, they want us to violate our constitution and they want to reverse the arbitral award. Of course, we could not allow that.
Big no yan, big no yan. So you're cautiously optimistic that we may soon move because we're just desperate. I mean, we lost all of those years, diba? I mean, justice, right?
Because we are, it's long overdue. And remember, it takes 4 years. And we are now almost in the second year of the Marcos administration. And if there is still no light at the end of the tunnel when we have our 2028 elections, then whoever is the candidate supported by President BBM will have a hard time. He cannot anoint his successor.
My long term, again, this will help the other side, right? Especially the
That's
pro-China
right.
side, right? That their narrative na yan kasi inaway niyo yung China kung sana nag anong term ni ano ni Digong co-ownership, right? I mean, ewan ko yung conjugal understanding niya. Ewan ko talaga kay Digong na yan. So that's why it's very important. So I think even if we start this year because we lost all those years under Digong, there's going to be a transitional phase na medyo
Yeah,
masakit, diba?
yeah.
So
We will
unfortunately,
be
the
here.
damage has been quite done. It's just a matter of making sure hindi mag-hemorrhage yan.
That's right. There is a gap because it takes 4 years to develop reed bank. So we will suffer in the meantime. But once they know that we are getting the gas, I mean, people will be happy already.
Which is again another issue that can be raised with Duterte, right? That he wasted so many years, he didn't develop the area, he allowed himself to be, you know, strung along by China in this useless negotiations where obviously China will never agree to giving up their excessive, expansive, illegal claims. So we lost years, 2 years probably. So wala na tayong, so in that sense, I think this, I mean, Justice Carpio, the reason I keep on asking you about this is because parang napansin ko, konti lang tao may alam dito.
Yeah.
Or hindi masyadong pinag-uusapan ito. Parang tayo-tayo lang nag-uusap ukol dito sa reed bank issue
Yeah.
na ito.
The
Do you think may
issue
pagkakulang
problem.
ang gobyerno? Dapat i-mas i-publicize nila kasi malaking bagay
Well,
ito.
they're also afraid to alarm, to cause panic. So they're trying to control the situation. But we know the meaning of importing LNG. If you have to import LNG, that means inflation will shoot up, power rates will shoot up. If we don't import, that means there will be 12 to 14 hours of brownout every day. That's terrible. So we know that we will suffer because it will take 4 years to develop reed bank. But if we can get the gas, we're starting to develop it. At least there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope, and if there is hope, you can have a bright future if there is
Hold
hope.
on to
But
something.
yeah, hold on to something because there will be relief soon. But if we cannot even start the survey and drilling, then we know we're in a dead end. And that means we have really to import LNG, which is the only solution. And that means our power rates will shoot up, inflation will go through the roof, and it will be terrible. We'll have it will be terrible for our economy and for our people.
So thank you very much, Justice. Actually, ako ang concern ko is kailangan ba rin natin mag-ingay? Because for all we know, baka gusto ng gobyerno na quietly nila i-address ito. Baka in terms of optics,
Well,
better we just do the right thing quietly like our neighbors. Don't you think maybe?
I know they're preparing. I
Yun
know
nga.
they're preparing.
Oh, yun
Yeah, they're
nga.
preparing because if you notice, the joint patrols started off the coast of Palawan, moving towards the reed bank area. So, I mean, you just have to assume they're moving because if they're moving, then we're in a big trouble. I mean, they would be so incompetent if they're not moving now.
Exactly. Medyo suicidal na politically and potentially economically, no?
Yes.
No movies made on that. So maybe there is a logic to the not, you know, not much smoke coming out of that fire and that fire of looming energy crisis if hindi ma-develop yung reed bank. Now, Justice Curry, pag-usapan naman natin yung Panatag Shoal Bajo de Masinloc because actually the other day I had an interview with Sonny Trillanes and his position is I know, I honestly, I've heard like 12 versions. But his version is nothing done sa mutual disengagement should stop the Philippines from challenging China's tenuous administrative whatever control. Because China has not reclaimed yet Scarborough Shoal, right? They have no military facilities there. They have no troops there. So in theory, actually, we can challenge, right? Their tenuous occupation. I mean, it's I'm not even sure if I can call it occupation, a tenuous encirclement of Scarborough Shoal, right? I mean, this is, I think, it's something we haven't talked about as much. Please, I mean, feel free to share your point of view. Pero ang inisip ko is, baka naman sa Scarborough Shoal, we also have to make some moves there. Hindi naman na-reclaim yan eh. Alam ka naman, nakatenga lang tayo, hindi lang natin ma-reclaim yan.
Well, the China has surrounded Scarborough Shoal with their maritime militia and Coast Guard 24 hours a day. They are in actual control, but they have not erected any structure there because of the 2002 Declaration of Conduct, which prohibits the occupation of unoccupied features. You cannot inhabit uninhabited features as of 2002. So they don't want to break that code of conduct yet. Not as of this time, they're not ready to break that because
So hindi violate
everybody.
lahat ng mga ibang ginawa nila because they already preoccupied those other features before the declaration and
Yes,
conduct. So they're kind of
that's
like
correct.
semi-compliance charot, parang ganun.
Yes, so they're trying to comply with that. But of course, they are in possession because they've surrounded it. That's what they did also to Sandy K. They have surrounded it, but they have not built. And what they're doing in Sandy K, slowly they're adding at night, they're adding sand to prevent the Sandy K from being from going under because of sea level rise and the action of the waves. No? So China, for one reason or another, is not yet ready to openly break the 2002 Declaration of Conduct. So what we should do is to go to the arbitral tribunal again, because that's a common fishing ground. And to have a common fishing ground, you must have common ground rules. And China refuses to sit down with us. So we go to the tribunal and say, you declare this is a common fishing ground. We need common fishing rules. So these are our proposal, and we want this to be approved by the tribunal. So in that way, we move the needle. China will not appear, but Vietnam will appear because Vietnam is also a beneficiary to that common fishing decision. So
And Taiwan.
then we will have another arbitral award, and the world will rally behind that arbitral award again because that's the rule of law, just like the 2016 arbitral award. So we keep on piling arbitral awards. If you recall, a few days ago, Wu Shikun is the guru of China on the expansion in the South China Sea, because
Right.
the nationalists
E
just
ito
claimed
yung ganun
the
yung hair niya, 'di ba?
islands.
Yung fox style ganun. Kahit nakasama natin lahat yan, di ba, sa mga conferences. Yeah.
Yes,
Nice guy in
Oxford. He
person.
was there in Oxford, and I was seated together with him. So, the nationalists invented the nine dash line, but they claim only the islands. It was Wu Shikun who said, we will claim also the waters beyond the territorial sea. So that is why now China is saying the nine dash line is their national boundary and everything enclosed is the national territory. And for the longest time, they said that the arbitral award of July 2016 is null and void, null and void. But now he admitted, he said that despite everything, the arbitral award had a negative impact on China, a negative impact that can never be erased anymore. And a second arbitral case will create a domino effect. Other ASEAN countries will follow. And of course, the rest of the world will support us also. So they are in dread of a second arbitration case.
Interesting.
So he told the, he recommended to his government, please stop the Philippines from filing another case. Can you just imagine that? So what do? We file another case because that will pile up our awards, our arbitral awards, and the rest of the world will support us because that's the rule of law. So we should file a second case. DOJ is planning to file a second case For the destruction of the marine environment in Skuodo Shoal and Rosal Reef, we will add the common fishing ground rules in Scarborough Shoal. Plus, we will add the dangerous maneuvers when they water cannoned a few days ago our Coast Guard and before vessel. So we will have three grounds, no, to file the as basis to file the second arbitration case, and they're in dread of a second arbitration case.
Interesting. So if people like Trillianes would argue that perhaps the way forward is to challenge them physically through naval force, what you're saying is that lawfare is the next way forward. Although, of course, I don't see necessarily those two mutual exclusive. We can sequence that, right? We can file an additional one. And if hindi na naman na comply ng China, then the law is on our side. Then we can challenge it physically. Kasi wala naman enforcement, compliance enforcement capacity in courts. But if the law is on our side, then the international community, the key powers will be on our side if ever we want to enforce it together with Vietnam and other countries who also have shared interests, right? I'm just saying, kasi parang status quo is like nakatenga lang, di ba? Like, yeah. China's just circling. Nothing is happening. Yeah. I mean, it's just frozen. It's a frozen conflict. Yeah. So what's next?
I have heard a lot of people that this is an indignity to us. I mean, we are being water cannoned in our own territorial sea. So what are we doing? You know, that was the case, that was the situation faced by President Aquino III. When China seized Scarborough Shoal in 2012, he was the commander-in-chief. Philippine territory was invaded because that's territory, it's high tide. And normally you send your navy to retake that the Scarborough Shoal, but of course we were outnumbered. We were numbered by about 20 to 1. 20 Chinese vessels against one of our vessels. So he had to do something. And that's when that something was filing the arbitration case. We are in the same situation. We have to do something. Because otherwise, the people will say, ano, binububog na lang tayo sa sarili natin.
Yeah, exactly.
Waters.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to do something. We have to file a case. Because our pride as Filipinos is being hurt now, because it's like we are being slapped and we just offer our left cheek and right cheek to be slapped. We will file another case, and they dread that filing of another case. We will do exactly what they dread.
Yeah, because I always say, kausap ko rin si both Commodore Tariela and Trinidad over the past 48 hours or so. And my point is, we have to be David, hindi kawawa. But David was smaller than Goliath, but hindi siya kawawa. I mean, he was a warrior, he was smart, he had the weapons, di ba? Or, you know what I'm saying? So I think ang problema dito is, minsan mukha tayong kawawa, hindi tayo mukhang underdog na may laban. So dapat we remind the world na lumalaban tayo at may laban tayo dito. Because this is also psychological warfare, right? In a way.
Yeah, if you just put it in perspective, the award now is a rallying point of all the naval powers, the US, EU, Japan, because of that award. That's the symbol of international law. They want to preserve that. So we keep on piling these awards to strengthen their support for us. Because if we go there to Scarborough Shoal with our Navy, that will just create tension, and they will be in a quandary whether it's the right thing to do. If we go to the arbitral tribunal, then they will be very happy because that follows international law.
Obviously, Justice Carpio raises some weird scenario because you have a president who talks about rules-based international order, who is implying that we might go for lawfare, as DOJ puts it. You are supportive of it. And when it comes to ICC, I know, again, technically they're different, but the ICC is also about rules-based international order, right? That you cannot just go and mass murder your own citizens. So don't you think at some point there has to be an alignment there whereby you cannot pick and choose? Because that's what China is doing. China is pick and choosing, right? So if you want to have the moral ascendancy, you want the international community behind you, you have to show that you're consistently on the side of a rules-based international order, which includes international humanitarian law, hindi lang United Nations Convention Law of the Sea. I mean, this is where I see things are a little bit tricky, right? If the Marcos administration continues with its current, stance.
Yeah, I think there will be some adjustments later on. Once the warrant of arrest is issued, if it is issued against all of them, including the vice president, because she's also being named there, no? So the position of the government could still change. So it's not, I don't see it as being set in stone.
Or the stone is melting slowly, slowly. I mean, let's be honest. I think it's more like melting of
because what Duterte is doing is threatening the president, the incumbent president. And you just don't threaten the incumbent president that, you know, you resign or I will lead the nation in a rally against you. I mean, you don't do that. I mean, he is the sitting president. I mean, if you have anything against the president, sue him in court. Do it the legal way.
Right.
But do not threaten him with mass rallies and so on, or hint of, you know what he said in his conference, that there might be something there that we could implode. Very, 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 very dark hints.
Yeah, I mean, it's incitement to rebellion almost, right? Or something worse, right? Just to put it very nicely, are Duterte's the proxies of China nowadays? I mean, saan galing yung tapang na yan to challenge Marcos so openly? Is it because may amo sila na malakas na sumusuporta sa kanya? I mean, are we already in that situation when the lines are clear? Or I don't know, are we still pretending that, you know, everything is normal factional politics?
Well, it's very clear Duterte heads the pro-China, anti-America position. And that position is really anti-Filipino. Because if you are pro-China in the West Philippine dispute, that means you're willing to give up our sovereign rights. So he is the pro-China symbol. And he has accepted that when he started to he started his Maisug rallies. The Maisug rallies is supposed to be their nationwide rallies to say no to this pivot to the U.S.
Proxy war. To proxy
yeah,
war.
Yeah, it is a proxy. But it's that the core issue in the South China Sea is China is grabbing our island territories and maritime zones. It's the only country in the world that is invading us. The dispute really is between the Philippines and China. It's not a China-US dispute. We just happen to ask the US to help us because it's our treaty ally. Because we cannot fight China on our own.
That's, exactly.
That's
pero yun ang gusto ng China, di ba, Justice Carpet? Gusto tayong susuloy ng China. At yun ang exactly yung gusto ng mga makapili. Pasolo tayo sa China. Which, wala tayong laban, di ba? It's gonna be... It's not the...
Can you just imagine, Richard? If today the U.S. and its allies will withdraw from the South China Sea, tomorrow the 10 dash line becomes a national boundary. Ubus tayo. Our EEZ will disappear. It will be part of the 10 dash line if the U.S. will withdraw. It's as simple as that. But if China today will recognize our EEZ under international law, there is no more dispute. We don't need the EDCA sites. Because if China will respect our exclusive economic zone, allow us to get the gas in Reed Bank, which is within our EEZ, we don't need the EDCA sites. So it's really China's move to grab what is ours that's forcing us to get help from our allies.
We are our hands is forced. We are being defensive, really. I mean, we don't. I think the
really
president was clear about
move.
It.
China doesn't want us to go to ask the support of the U.S., and that means it will be purely China against the Philippines, and it's no match. I mean, we won't last a day.
Actually, there's my nagsa-circulate na Justice Carpio, by the way, yung sinabi ko na Ilocano tong Zoom natin, patapos ito. I'll send you another link because I want to have a short follow-up on Duterte's and Kibuloy and all. But before this free non-business account runs out of its first 40 minutes. Ang bilis ng 40 minutes, Justice. Ito, nakita ko itong anime na it's a picture of different ASEAN flags. Yung ibang ASEAN countries ay naglalaro sa they're having, you know, games sa rain. Yung sa taas naman, they're trying to cover themselves from umbrella. Habang yung Pilipinas at Vietnam ay in a water cannon, di ba? So, I'll show. So, Essentially, the idea is that, you know, the ASEAN is fiddling while we water cannon at kinakawawa yung mga ibang bansa katulad ng Pilipinas and all. I mean, to a certain degree, also Vietnam. No? I think we can talk a little bit about that more. Justice Carr, before we close this and then open another Zoom shortly to discuss a little bit more, should we realistically admit na hindi natin maasa ng ASEAN as a whole to really be on our side? Kasi I keep on hearing dun sa mga, hindi naman pro-China, pero dahil anti-America sila, pinipilit nila, dun na tayo sa ASEAN. Pero ASEAN is practically useless on this. I mean, what other evidence you want to see? ASEAN is useful on other issue, but not on this one. I mean, let's just be realistic about it, right?
Well, all those who are not involved, all those who are not prejudiced by the 9-line, we cannot expect them to support us because they're getting loans, investments from China. That's their number one priority. We can only rely on countries that are similarly situated as us, like Vietnam, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Brunei is too small to make a difference.
And even the Malaysia is a bit questionable. We'll discuss it very soon. I'll send you the new link, Justice Carpenter.
Yeah. Malaysia, because Malaysia, they already got what they wanted.
Right.
They were able to survey and drill. And that's why Anwar said, we don't have a problem with China. Because they already
solved got na what sila. They solved na sila. Thank you so much, Justice Carpi. I'll get back to you. Paubos na itong link natin. I'll send you a link very shortly. My apologies for the ambilis pala ng 40 minutes. I'll get back to you because we need the last part dito sa episode natin to discuss a little bit more about Duterte and then a little bit about Kibuloy to close off this.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Justice.
Okay.